And we've talked about a lot of things so far. And again, I like doing series because I can cover material in depth, and hopefully you're learning a lot from this. And my purpose for sharing this is not just to give you information, but to help you find your place and help you become better equipped to share your faith and to minister life to others. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, beginning with verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, underline the word every man, that doesn't mean just male, it means mankind, it includes women. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, if you would, go down to verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, plural, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we've seen in this series of lessons so far a lot of things about the way the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. And just for the sake of understanding, we've broken these nine manifestations down into simple categories so they're easily understood. There are three gifts or manifestations that say something. Those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Prophecy, he that speaks to men to edify, to exhort, to comfort, an inspired utterance in a language that you know that does one of those three things. Diverse kinds of tongues is an inspired utterance in a language you don't know that needs interpretation to do the same thing, edify, exhort, comfort. Then there are three gifts that reveal something. The word of knowledge, which is a revelation of facts that exist in the mind of God, either past or present. A word of wisdom, which is a revelation of future events. Or discerning of spirits, the ability to see into the realm of spirits. We looked at Paul's shipwreck. An angel stood by him. Well, you know, what is that? That simply means he saw into the realm of spirits and saw this angel who gave him a message. There were several times when Jesus appeared to Paul, and he said that the gospel that he preached, the gospel of grace, he didn't learn it from men, but he got it by revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. I truly believe Jesus taught Paul about the church, about spiritual gifts, about grace. How did he do that? I truly believe Paul was sitting in his house at the table. Jesus walked through the wall, pulled up a chair, and said, "Paul, I'm going to teach you some things," and sat down. Now, if you'd been in the room, I don't know if you'd seen him or not, but Paul did. Amen? Well, Pastor Young, how do you explain that? I can't. It's supernatural, beyond my control, many times beyond my understanding. And so now we've been talking about power gifts, gifts that do something. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, and faith or special faith. Last week I talked about love being the catalyst for the gifts of the Spirit. You've got to be motivated by love. That is why 1 Corinthians 13 is put right in the middle between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And remember, Paul didn't write this letter in chapter and verse. He wrote it in a narrative. And so right in the middle of talking about the gifts of the Spirit, then he talks about love, and then he talks about how to operate the gifts of the Spirit. If you're not motivated by love or agape, it doesn't work. It's just noise. You with me? And so we need to have love as the motivating factor. And if you're motivated by love and you're moved with compassion and you care about people, just know this, God can use you at any moment to do anything at any time. Just keep that spiritual antenna up. And don't think that, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't have a theological degree. You don't need one to minister to people. You don't need one to bless people. You don't need one to pray for people. And see, many times gifts of healing will operate through you as you just with compassion reach out to people. There have been times the Lord has done amazing things. What is gifts of healings? It's a supernatural healing of sickness and or disease without any mediation whatsoever. What does that mean? No doctor, no medicine, just zap. You were sick, now you're well. What is that? How do you explain that? I can't. Supernatural. It's the power of God. Remember in John chapter 5, Jesus went down to the pool of Bethesda? And in that pool, there were five porches. And in those five porches, a multitude, a large number of impotent folk. Not important, impotent. That means they couldn't walk, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear. They were maimed, blind, lame, waiting for the moving of the water, because at a certain season an angel would go down and stir up the water, and whoever the first one was to get into that pool was healed of whatever they had. Well, what is that? I don't know. That's the power of God. Can't explain it. Is there some medicinal thing in the water? No, because only the first person in got healed. If you were dude number two, sorry, didn't work for you. And so Jesus goes down there one morning. The place is packed. And he sees a man who's been lying there. And he'd been in that condition for 38 years. Unable to walk. Now, when you're unable to walk, you don't use your muscles. What happens to them? They atrophy. They shrink. And so I'm sure he was laying on that cot with his little skinny, shriveled up legs. And Jesus, looking at him, knew he'd been in that condition for a long time. And he said to the man, "Will you be made whole?" The man looked at Jesus and said, "I don't have anybody put me in the water. Every time the water stirred, somebody always beats me to it." And Jesus did this. He said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, go home." When he said that, the power of God hit that guy. He was instantly healed. He got up, rolled up his cot, and for the first time in 38 years, he started walking, and he's heading to the house. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about this guy believing anything. See, many times faith is involved when we receive from God. There are 19 specific instances in the New Testament when Jesus ministered to individuals, like blind Bartimaeus, or the man born blind in John chapter 9, or the man with the dropsy, or the woman who was bowed together for 18 years. All of these instances, individual, I'm not talking about the multitudes that he healed or the groups that he healed. I'm talking about individuals. 19 specific cases, 12 times the faith of the individual who was healed is mentioned. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She came in the press behind and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus felt dunamis flow out of him. The New Testament translates its virtue. It's the word dunamis. It means miracle working power. Flew out of his clothes into her, healed her instantly. He stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Everybody said, "What do you mean everybody's touching you? What do you mean?" But she fell down, told him all the truth. He said, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." The man I talked about earlier, the number 10, the leper who gave thanks, Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." So faith is a necessary ingredient many times to receive healing. But in this case, says nothing about his faith. Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your bed, go home." I love the way Jesus does things. Simple, to the point. No religious ritual. I mean, he didn't anoint. He didn't lay hands. He didn't even spit. There were times he spit on people. Don't do that unless God tells you to. And that man headed to the house. Now, how do I know that gifts of healing was in operation? Because this man didn't even know who he just had a conversation with. Later on that day, the Jews said, "Hey, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. It's a Sabbath." He said, "Well, the man who healed me told me to pick up my bed and go home." They said, "Well, who was that?" He said, "I don't know." He didn't know. Later on, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, "Hey, stop sinning or something worse will come on you." He's the last guy you'd have thought would have got healed. But you know what? Bethesda, house of mercy. Many times people are healed just because of the mercy of God. By the gifts of the Spirit. But what if it was you that morning and the Lord said, "I want you to go over to Erie County Farms." And you said, "Well, Lord, my favorite show's about to come on TV. They're open till 7 o'clock. I'll go later." See, the Holy Spirit can't use you that day. Maybe there was somebody there that you'd have a conversation with, and during that conversation they'd say, "You know, the doctor said I've got this thing, and it's just worrying me. Well, would you mind if, could I pray with you about that?" That's all you got to do. "Could I pray with you about that?" Well, would you? And just put your hands on their shoulder or on their arm. You don't have to yell. You don't have to scream. You don't have to become the evangelist with a toupee and a tuxedo. No. Just put your hands on them, say, "In Jesus' name, be healed." I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I remember when I was a young man, my sister-in-law had her first child. I won't name the girl. Some of y'all know her. And my son was just 4 days younger than her. And I remember she got a diaper rash. She got the diaper rash from hell. This thing was a diaper rash on steroids. She went to the doctor. They gave her every kind of cream you can imagine. Nothing worked. And this girl was in agony. Big red blisters. Oh, the girl, my heart just went out for her. So we're talking in their living room. And the Spirit of God, He's never asked me to do this before, and He's never asked me to do this since. It's the only time I ever did it. This is literally what He said. "Take her in the room and blow on her." That's it. So I did. People, adults were talking, took her in the room, blew on her. Went back, gave her to Mama, and said, "The rash is going away, it'll never come back." And she looked at me like, "What?" I said, "The rash will go away, it'll never come back." You know that rash was gone? Never came back? Now, that's what the Lord told me to do that day. That was 33 years ago. He's never told me to do that to anybody else. "Well, Pastor Bill, you blew on that baby and the baby got healed. Why don't you blow on everybody?" Because that don't work. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Now listen, we can all do what the Bible says we can do. The Bible says, "These signs shall accompany believing ones. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." I know that works. You with me? But Jesus didn't spit on everybody. No. He did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. He laid hands on multitudes of people. Remember Jay Iris said, "Come lay your hands on my daughter that she'll be healed and she'll live." Jesus is following his faith all the way to the house. And then the girl died before he got there. And when the news came, they said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. She's gone. She's dead." Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." So they went to the house, all the people raising a fuss, crying and boo-hooing. And Jesus put them all out. But he had fun with them first. See, God has a sense of humor. He does. Jesus walks into that scene, that mad scene. And he says, "She's not dead. She's sleeping." And then the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. Now listen, I find it very troubling that people go from mourning to laughing that fast. That shows you they were insincere. They were putting on a show. Yeah. And so he put them all out. went in there with James, John, Peter, and the parents of that girl, and said, little maid, young girl, get up. That's all he said. And she got up. She was about 12 years old. He took her by the hand. He told parents, he said, get her something to eat. And he said, don't tell anybody about this. Don't tell anybody. Now, what happened there? Gifts of healings and working of miracles. See, if gifts of healing alone will heal sickness and disease, but unless you cure what killed her the first time, she's going to die again. So it takes a miracle to raise somebody from the dead. You with me? Well, Pastor Bill, can anybody raise people from the dead? No. There's no scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt raise the dead. Not one. You can't have faith for that. But when the Holy Spirit moves on you, nothing's impossible. You with me? And so we have to have enough sense to know the difference. Now, let me show you something here about gifts of healings. And let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Just want to touch on something here. Galatians chapter 3, we'll start with verse 5. Paul's writing to this Gentile church, and he asks them a question. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Notice what he said. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify or declare righteous the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So here you can see that there was someone in the church at Galatia who worked miracles. And he asked them, how does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So faith is important, even when it comes to miracles. Somebody's got to have faith. And every time I've looked in the scripture, somebody always had to do something for working of miracles to take place. Now, working of miracles and gifts of healings are two distinct operations of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healings is the supernatural healing of sickness and or disease without any mediation whatsoever. When Jesus spit and made mud pies and put them on that blind man's eyes, that was gifts of healings. When the two blind men followed Jesus into the house and he said, what would you have me do for you? They said, Lord, that we might receive our sight. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. He laid hands on them and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. That was not gifts of healings. That was their faith that brought healing to them. Amen. So we need faith in operation. But even when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, somebody's got to do something. Amen. There was a time in the Old Testament when the sons of the prophets, these were men studying for ministry under the prophet Elisha, they were cutting some trees down, and one of them had borrowed an axe, and he swung the axe, and the axe head flew into the river. And he goes to Elisha and said, alas, master, what shall we do? I lost the axe head. We borrowed this thing from Mr. So-and-so. And Elisha said, where did it go into the water? And he took him down to the riverbed. He said, it flew off and went in over there someplace. Elisha took a branch, threw it into the water, and that axe head swam to the shore. Listen, I don't care what science book you read. Axe heads don't swim. But that one did. Now, why did that happen? Because Elisha had faith in the God of miracles. And the Holy Ghost told him, throw that stick over there. He did. Up come the axe head. He said, fetch it so we can get it back to Mr. So-and-so. Amen? Working of miracles. One translation of working of miracles calls it this, explosions of almightiness. explosions of almightiness. Working of miracles is this, a supernatural intervention into the natural course of events that suspends the laws of nature. Amen. When in the Old Testament, Israel was in a battle, and Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still so that they could finish the battle. Now listen, that's some strong stuff. Now, do you know technically what's involved for the moon to stand still? Either the moon's going to have to change its orbit, or the earth's going to have to stop its rotation. Either way, that's a big deal. And the Bible, in describing that miracle, says nobody's ever done that since. Nobody will ever do it again. But God was faithful to hear the voice of Joshua, and he wanted Israel to prevail in that battle so much, he was willing to stop the laws of nature to make sure the job got done. Amen. You know, he loves you just as much. Amen. He loves people just as much, and maybe he'll use you. Amen? Amen? We get so cerebral sometimes. Are we trying to figure everything out? Some things you just can't figure out. You just got to believe God. Amen. Amen? Amen? You just have to believe God. I don't care how he does it. I know he will. Amen. Amen? Now, what's the purpose of gifts of healings and working of miracles? To confirm the word with signs following, and listen to this, and to give proof of the resurrection. Amen. In other words, you're letting the world know if Jesus is alive, he'll do this. Amen. Dead Jesus can't help you at all. I said, a dead Jesus can't help you at all. But a living Christ will move heaven and earth. And if he has to, suspend the laws of nature to bring healing, to bring deliverance, and to prove himself alive. Amen? He'll prove himself alive. There are times, you know, the anointing will come on you and you just get bold with some stuff. I had a woman many years ago stood in my office, and she came to our church occasionally and had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. In fact, the tumor had popped through the skin, and she was shook up. She was really upset. And she and her husband came in my office, Pastor Bill, what am I going to do? And now, you know, remember I used the expression, put your spiritual antenna up? I mean, I was like, man. What do I say to this? This is devastating. Just then, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And I, in turn, spoke to her. I said, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Because she's crying and up. I said, listen to me. She said, uh-huh. I said, you're going to be fine. She said, what? I said, you will be okay. You'll be fine. Do what the doctors tell you to do. Take your treatment, whatever. You'll be fine. That was 10 years ago. She's still fine. You with me? Now, I wish I could say, oh man, she became a spiritual giant and she just loves to serve God. But, hey, it is what it is. All I did was obey the Holy Ghost. Amen? There are times God will drop faith in your heart and you can't doubt. You can't doubt. There's no way. That's special faith. Now, let me show you something. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. And I want to share this with you. Come on, don't go out on me now. Okay, good. Oh, Kindle's such a nice thing. There we go. All my scriptures came back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to show you something here. And let's look at go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You're in 12. Turn over a couple of pages. Here's something we want to keep in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, notice verse 12. Notice what it says. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Remember, our motive is love, agape, move with compassion. But if you're zealous of spiritual gifts, and see, that's in part my reason for teaching this series. I want you to desire spiritual gifts. I want you to covet them. I want you to get up in the morning saying, Lord, use me any way you see fit. I'm yours, God. Anything you want to say, anything you want to do, just tap me on the shoulder. You with me? Because there are people that need to hear from you, people that need to be touched by you, and it doesn't take much. I've seen people get healed because I gave their friend a book. I gave their friend a book, and they happened to read it, and the Lord healed them. When I was a young man, I worked for an insurance company, and I remember a woman who worked in our word processing department had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and so she resigned and retired early. And she was just a sweet Lutheran lady. She was. She was so nice and so kind. And back then, you know, I still am like a sponge. I'm reading everything I can find on the subject. And I had a book called Christ the Healer, Jesus the Healer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give her that book. And so, you know, this is a secular setting. This is an insurance company. Professional people. You know, this isn't a Bible club, although I did have a Bible study in the office. People told me I couldn't do it. The Lord told me, start a Bible study in the office. I said, okay. So I went to the activities director, and, you know, they were looking for activities at lunchtime. I said, I'd like to start a Bible study. I'm the only black man in the whole building. And they said, okay. They printed flyers for me and everything. And I had all these Catholic and Lutheran people coming to Bible study at lunchtime at the insurance company. And so I gave her this book, Jesus the Healer. I said, here, I felt impressed to give you this book. I'd like you to read this. She said, thank you. She came back 6 weeks later, and she made a beeline for me. She said, Bill, I want to thank you so much for giving me this book. I read it again and again and again and again. She said, Jesus did something in my body. I went back to my doctor. They can't find a thing. Well, how did she get healed? Reading that book, having faith in God's word. But what if I'd have said, well, Lord, I don't want to give her my book. That's the only one. You know how it is. You give somebody a book, you never get it back. Let her buy her own book. How stupid would that have been? You with me? Love, love, love is the motivator for the gifts of the Spirit. Well, she doesn't go to our church. Who cares where she goes? Just obey the Lord. You know where some of these most powerful gifts will operate? Not among the folks sitting next to you in the pew, but that dude out in the street. When cousin Ding Dong Knucklehead comes to your house for Thanksgiving dinner. The power of God will flow through you. That's where Jesus will show himself alive. If he can just find somebody with enough guts to trust him. Here I am, Lord, use me. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, I've told people, I've gotten phone calls. You know, Pastor Young, I need help. What do you need? Well, I bought some drugs from this fella in Youngstown, and if I don't pay him, he gonna kill me. Well, what you call me for? Well, I need $140. I said, I ain't giving you no money. I said, but he ain't gonna kill you. Well, how do you know? Because I said it. So, but I didn't have this conversation on the phone. I met him face to face. You know? But I told him, I said, you know what? You've been dealing with this mess a long time. Come here, let me cast the devil out of you. Ooh, what? Let me cast the devil out of you. Sometimes they want it, sometimes they don't. I've said that to people and he turned around, screamed and ran. Right out the door. Ah! So I guess they didn't want it. You know? But I told him, I said, come here, let me cast that devil out of you. Huh? Let me cast that devil out of you. And they run out the door. I tell you, living for God is so much fun. It is. Okay, so whatever we do, be zealous for spiritual gifts, but let's excel to the edifying of the church. Go down to verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Watch this. How is it then, brethren, when you are come together? Notice this. This is how they came to church in Corinth. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, let everything be done properly so that everybody's edified. But listen, this church, these Gentiles came to church loaded for bear. I mean, they were ready to go. You ready? I mean, they were ready to go. They didn't come in like, well, it's Sunday morning. I guess I better go to church. I haven't been in a while. Be good for them just to see my sunny face. You know. And maybe Pastor Young will preach something that I like. You know. And they come in and sit down and, well, I praise and worship, that's good, but if I can catch the last song, I think I can get a blessing. And, you know, please don't come to church like that. I mean, we want you to come, but you ought to come to church like this. You come, you got a revelation. You got a psalm. The Lord gave you a song, a spiritual poem. You know, you got a tongue. Amen? But, wow. That's different. All right, turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about gifts that do something. Power gifts. Gifts of healing. A supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any mediation whatsoever. There was a time when, or I should say it like this, there are times that the presence of God will show up for one purpose only, and that's to heal people. He may do it with individuals. He may do it in mass with a group. You find an account like this in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law from every town in Judea, Samaria, Galilee. It was an arranged meeting. And they came to hear Jesus teach. And there's an inconspicuous line right in the middle of that verse. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. What does that mean? The presence of God had settled into that room to heal anybody who was sick. And if you were sick, all you had to do was receive. Didn't matter what you had. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, we can't turn that on, turn that off. But when it is on, get it. When it is on, cooperate with it. There are times the anointing will come on me and I know what he wants to do. Heal people. Sometimes it's different things. Amen? Bottom line is you'll get healed. I wish I could turn that on and keep it on. But I can't. Nobody can. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That lets us know that we all have a part to play, and all of us, when we work together, increase the entire body and edify or build up the entire body, notice this, in love. Not in strife. Not with your fussing and feuding and fighting. God never blessed any mess like that. You with me? Notice verse 29, Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means it builds up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Don't nobody want to hear your fussing and feuding and complaining.
Amen.
Don't nobody want to hear it. Really. And you know what I'm more conscious of now than I am at any time in my life? The power of words. Words are weighty. Words have power that you can't imagine they have. And so you need to be careful what you say, especially when you're talking about someone else.
Amen.
Good Lord, if you can't say anything good, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Because life and death are in the power of your tongue.
Amen.
If you can't say anything good, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
And there have been times I've started to talk and it had sort of a complaining slant to it, and the Holy Ghost is like pulling on the reins. Boy, shut your mouth. Because there's life and death in your words. And so I just won't say anything. Somebody wrote about Smith Wigglesworth one time. There was a man in his town, and Wigglesworth had preached around the world, had had miracles, signs, and wonders. And this guy resisted everything that Smith preached to it. And the man finally died, and Wigglesworth went down to back then they did viewings in the homes. Went to the man's home, and everybody's looking at Wigglesworth wanting to know what he's going to say about this rank sinner, this guy who resisted everything he ever preached. And Wigglesworth said, "Boy, he did have nice teeth though, didn't he?" That's all he could say. He did have nice teeth. Another time, one of his son-in-law, Salter was his name, wrote about Wigglesworth. He had returned home from being out on the road, and he said there was a little commotion and people at one of his neighbor's homes, and his wife was a Salvation Army member, and she got him saved when he was 47 years old. Couldn't read or write, 47. The only book he ever read, so he said, was the Bible. She taught him how to read the Bible. And so he got home, he said, "What is this commotion? What's going on?" He said, "Smith," he said, "so-and-so just died." He said, "What?" Wigglesworth put on his coat, and his wife knew him. She said, Smith, leave him alone. Leave him alone. She knew what he was going to do. He went down there, grabbed that guy, threw him upside the wall, said, "Walk in Jesus' name." And the guy came back, raised him from the dead. He said he wouldn't listen to me when he was alive. Maybe he'll listen to me now. He threw him upside the wall. Now listen, don't do that. You're going to get embarrassed unless the Lord told you to do it and the Holy Ghost is there to do it. Don't do stuff like that. You with me? Some people get emotional, do all kind of crazy stuff. No, it's not God. God didn't tell you to do that. If He did, it would work.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to one last passage. I want to share this. This is so good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're talking about power gifts, gifts that do something. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've seen over and over again that the Lord has wanted us to have the right attitude about spiritual gifts. We're to covet them, but we're to do things in such a way that the church is edified. People are built up, not torn down, built up.
Amen?
Amen? Now, here's something. I'm going to read from the Message Bible because I really love the way it says it. I'm going to read it first from the King James. 1 Timothy. Well, I'll read from the Message Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What'd I say? Yeah, I said Timothy, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yeah. Before Timothy. Thank you for being such attentive people. I would say I was just testing you, but I'd be lying. I just goofed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start with verse 9. Notice this. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us. Notice this. A death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with Him. So speak encouraging words one to another Build up hope so you all be together in this. Notice this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. That's what it says in the Message Bible. But notice that he said, speak words that edify and encourage one another. Build up hope so that you all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I'm convinced that if we took our place as the body of Christ and encouraged one another, that no one would be left behind. I wouldn't have to get on the phone and try to track down so-and-so because I haven't seen him in 3 weeks. You guys would beat me to it. You guys would beat me to it. Hey, Brother Mike, what's going on, man? Didn't see you last week. Everything okay? How often do we do that? No, we just, you know, hey, you seen, I'm not using you, Mike, but hey, you seen so-and-so? No, man, I ain't seen him in like 5 years. You know? Hey, we're in this thing for the long haul.
Amen.
Encourage one another. Bless one another. This is where we need to build relationships, godly relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we serve food downstairs. Did you know that? We're not doing that because we got so much money. We just got to, you know, let's feed people so we can get some of this money down. No. You know why we do that? So you guys build relationships with each other. Because we were over on 12th Street. I'd teach. And as soon as I finished, people hit the door. I didn't get to say bye to anybody. I didn't, you know, if somebody cornered me up in the front, I'm stuck. And so we, you know. So I figured, well, let's serve some refreshments next door. And I watched people. They'd come in and they'd look. You know, because y'all remember 12th Street? That ramp going up there? We'd see people, they come in, boom, gone. Come in, boom, gone. And we tell them, there's refreshments. And then as they're leaving, they'd look, they'd peek. Then they'd leave. And then, you know, after about the fourth visit, they'd walk over there and take a look, see what they got. Then by the fifth or sixth visit, you know, they're grabbing a little plate, sitting down, talking to somebody. What are they doing? Building relationships. Listen, we are the body of Christ. Wouldn't I look funny if my elbow didn't know it was related to my wrist? You know, if my knee didn't know it was related to the bone that supports it? You know, if my ear didn't know it was related to this ear over here? No, my body works in concert. So does yours. So should we. We all have different gifts, talents, abilities, anointings by the Spirit of God. Find your place, operate in it. And man, when we're all operating in relationship with each other in the right place, man, it becomes an unstoppable force. Okay? But don't sit there and say, oh, I'm not a knuckle. Man, I'm not a knuckle. I'm not part of this body. Yes, you are. You're not a knuckle. You're supposed to do something else. Maybe you're a knee or a toe. But don't get upset because you're not a knuckle. You know what I mean? What God has anointed you to do is important. You know, we need every part of our body to function right. Well, so is the body of Christ. So why did I share that? Whatever we do, let's do it so that we edify each other, care for one another. What is that? That's love being expressed. And when you show love towards each other, man, I'm telling you what, supernatural things will start to happen. Supernatural things will start to happen. Now, these power gifts, gifts of healing, working of miracles, special faith, these will happen mainly outside the doors of the church. It's a demonstration of God's power where Jesus is proving himself alive. And he'll do that as you're sharing your faith. He'll do that as emergencies arise. He'll do that just because he wants to do that. He'll do that because he wants to bless people. Prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. That'll happen mainly within the church. To edify, to exhort, to comfort. Revelation gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. That'll happen in the church. That'll happen in your own private life. It'll happen outside the church Because God wants to protect you.
Amen?
Amen? And so whatever He wants to do at any given moment, just be ready for it. Put your spiritual antenna up. But the key is living in such a way that love is your motivation.
Amen.
You care so much about the people around you that you want to edify them, you want to strengthen them, you want to build them up.
Amen.
Not tear them down.
Amen.
Not tear them down. I heard a man say years ago, he said, the body of Christ is the only army I've ever witnessed that shoots its wounded.
Amen.
We do. Shoot our wounded. Somebody mess up, well, why don't we restore them in a spirit of meekness instead of tearing them down? Amen? You know, there have been times I've seen people. Remember, I was sharing not long ago, I was doing a funeral, and a fella had just cussed me out the week before out on State Street. Called me everything but a child of God. And I kind of had fun with it. I was laughing, goading him on. Yeah, I love you, brother. Love you. Then I'm doing this funeral, and he comes in. I'm like, oh, gosh. See, my attitude was, oh, there he is. But, hey, I love him. So I got to sit there. You know, I got to release my faith now. Father, I love this man in Jesus' name. I don't care what he called me. And he's up there, oh, you know, during the service. Then he saw me. Oh. So after the funeral, I was walking down and he grabbed my hand. He said, peace? Peace? I said, yeah, peace, man. You know, in other words, I release you. I'm not going to hold that against you. I thought it was funny. See, God has a sense of humor. See, that guy you flipped the bird to in traffic, watch out. One Sunday, he'll be sitting next to you in church. If you don't correct it, he'll be sitting right next to you. Amen? You'll see him again. Amen? I was riding behind a truck yesterday and the guy stopped. And I don't know why he did this. He revved up the truck and all this black smoke just sort of surrounded my car. You know, and then he took off. Now, if I was younger, I'd have got upset by that. But I thought, man, that was pretty funny. So I tried to catch up with him just so I could give him a thumbs up. Hey, that was cool. You know? But he was going too fast. I couldn't catch him. You know. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Hey, God wants to use you to bless others.
Amen.
So learn to put your spiritual antenna up.
Amen.
Learn to use words that only edify, bless, encourage others. Be available for the Lord to use you at any moment to do anything. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you how He does that. How does He do it? I'll spend more time with this in another session. But many times, the Lord does it like this. Remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda we talked about earlier? And Jesus told him, stop sinning or something worse will come on you. He was confronted later by the religious leadership. And write these verses down. John 5:19, John 5:30. 5:19 and 5:30. Jesus operated by a gift of healing that morning. He had to, because the Bible says He left. Now listen, everybody down there was sick, needed healing. Why did He leave? Because that's all God told Him to do. Healing belonged to everybody at the pool. But after this man was healed, it caused a near riot, and so Jesus slipped away. And it always used to beg the question in my mind, why didn't He heal them all? Because that's all the Lord told Him to do. John 5:19, Jesus said this, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I don't seek my will, but the will of Him that sent me. In other words, Jesus did what He heard. There are times the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you'll hear it. When you go to work today, lay hands on that guy in the cubicle on the end. When you go to the family dinner tonight, lay hands on your nephew who's been struggling with this. You'll hear it. Just do it. And then Jesus said in verse 30, I only do the things I see my Father do. Many times when I'm ministering, I just do what I saw myself do several days before. And God always meets me there. So do what you hear, do what you see. You might see yourself having a conversation with somebody. You might see yourself laying hands on somebody. You might hear yourself saying something to somebody. Do it. That's how the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. Because you're doing it out of love. Amen? So just be open to do whatever the Lord has asked you to do. Amen? Did you learn anything during this series? Can anybody tell me how many weeks I taught on the subject? Give me your best guess. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. No, you're light, brother. You're light. 3, 5. No, you're light. 7, you're light. 9, you're light. 11. 11 weeks. You should have learned something by accident. God is good. Would you stand with me, please?